I called the mission office and said, I want to buy that lady a horse. I said, I guess you can get one for $1,000 or $1,500 or something, can't you? And they said, well, she's already got a new one. Said enough money came in from that video already, so we put her up a fence to keep it in, and she didn't want us to buy her too many things because she said it would just make her the people there feel like she wasn't one of them anymore if she had too much. And I like our kids to see people who sacrifice for the Lord and who can live without having a bedroom filled with material things and a home filled with material things. We don't have to have those things to be happy, especially when you serve the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman, upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Christ died to redeem us, to save us, and he died to deliver us from the wrath to come. I want to talk about a trip that we're going on. Joy and I have been married for 47 years, and we've been saved for 43 of those, and we've been on a number of trips. We went on 3 cruises. We've been on 2 together, and we took Rebecca on one for her graduation from high school. Joy's been on a couple more than I have. She and Nikki went on a day cruise out of Florida to the Bahamas, and she went on a cruise with her mother before her mom passed. We traveled to Dallas, Texas twice to visit our friends, the Coopers, who Brother Everett was a retired pastor. He was not physically able to travel, so we went out there twice to see them. One time we took some extra days and we went to Waco, Texas, to the Texas Ranger Museum, and then traveled on to the Alamo and got to see that, spent a night there, and then drove home. Drove 2,500 miles in a 10-day period of time. Saw a lot of sights. My wife had never seen an oil well, and when I showed her what a derrick looked like, she said, "That's not an oil well." She was expecting to see what you see on TV, you know, a big wooden derrick spewing oil, you know, and all you see is that little thing out there in the field going, rick, 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 pumping oil, you know. We visited missionaries in the Ukraine. The church sent us there to visit the Van Sants. When they had their 15th anniversary as a church, they wanted me to come and speak for them for their anniversary, and the church sent us there. And we had to fly out of New York 11 hours at night over the ocean, and then landed in Istanbul, Turkey. And we were late, so they put us up in a hotel there, and we spent a night in Istanbul, Turkey. And we could see almost a dozen mosques from the 14th floor of the hotel that we were in all around the city of Istanbul. And we saw a lot of sights. We saw a lot of different people. We've taken a few short trips, and we've seen many things in life, and all of you could mirror those and many more trips. Some of you have been on a lot. Some of you haven't been on many. I went on a few with the Marine Corps overseas. Saw people and places and things, people that lived in grass huts and ate anything they could possibly get their hands on, including fish heads and rice in a pot cooked in the middle of the village that stayed there for days at a time. And be covered in flies, and they'd just shoo the flies away and turn the heat up on the fire and recook it again and eat it again and again and again, you know. That was kind of a delicacy for them. They like the eyes especially. You say, you ever eat that? No, I didn't. I didn't eat that. Sea rations tasted pretty good after seeing all those flies covering the black pot, you know. Well, one day we're going on a trip to the Father's house, a place he's prepared for us. No way we can prepare our minds to see what the mansions in the Father's house are like and what the place Christ will prepare for us will be like. Songwriters and people who don't know the Bible often think they're going to have a giant mansion one day in heaven. And the Bible doesn't promise us that. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We're not going to need a mansion and a glorified body, but there'll be a place for us prepared within the mansions of the Father's house. We won't need a jet to get there. We won't need a boat. We'll rise with supernatural power when Jesus comes in the clouds and calls us up to heaven. We don't know when that day might be. Only God knows when that day will be. First of all, it'll be a timely trip. It'll be in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, when it takes place. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises of the tribulation or future judgment. That day will come. But God's long-suffering, giving us time that we might be saved. So people today think the Lord's late. They think he should have already come. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus was crucified and arose from the dead and had promised to come back and get us. So when is he coming? It'll be exactly on time. Galatians 4, 4 and 5 says when Christ came, was born as a babe in a manger, it was 4,000 years after creation that Christ was born as a babe in a manger. And they waited all that time. And yet Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5 says it was in the fullness of time that God sent his son, born of a woman, to redeem us. God's told us to watch. He's told us to be ready. He said in the scriptures that in an hour that you think not, the Lord will come. It's going to be soon that this age will pass away. And of course, we live closer to the day of Christ coming today than we ever have before. We must not be sleeping. We must not be slack. We must not get caught up in this present world so that we're not aware that Christ could come at any time. It's going to be a timely trip. He'll be right on time when he comes. Secondly, it's going to be a triumphant trip. Not one believer is going to be left behind. Not one who's saved will be lost. Not one who's died believing in the Lord or living today will miss going in the rapture when Jesus comes. The United States Army and the United States Marines are infantry ground troops. The Army also has airborne that drop in by parachutes, and the Marines are predominantly an amphibious assault group. They come off ships and attack beaches or islands and go in facing the enemy when they know we're coming. And when we were in the wars with the Army and the Marines, we sought to have the philosophy, no man left behind. We didn't want to lose anybody. We didn't want to leave anybody. We didn't want any MIAs, missing in action. We wanted to account for every man. And when he was wounded, we wouldn't go off and leave him. We'd carry him. And it sometimes was very difficult to get to a medevac place, and it would take men to carry a man through the jungles and the heat and all that sort of thing, plus carry his pack and your pack and the extra rifle and all that sort of thing to get somebody to a point where they could be medevac. But we weren't going to leave them. We're going to let them die there and bleed out or leave their body there. We were going to take them home. Jesus is going to assemble the greatest army the world has ever known when every believer is assembled in heaven with the Lord, and not one will be left behind. It'll be victorious. We'll rise to be rewarded. We'll be called up by the captain of our salvation, who is our deliverer and our Lord and our Savior. We will be triumphant. We'll be, as Romans says, more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Rome, they gave a triumph. I think I used that in a message the other day. about a Roman triumph where they would put a man in the king's chariot and white horses and ride him through the city in a parade, and they'd throw out flowers in his way, and he would have his captives in chains with him, and his children would be dressed in white, and they would honor him. Well, Christ is going to reward the faithful. He's going to introduce us to the Father as his own. He's going to call us before angels to see us receive crowns. And the unsaved will one day later be judged by the Lord who'll sit on the great white throne. And we will be victorious. It will be a triumphant trip. It'll be a timely trip. It'll also be a transforming trip. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ, their spirit is with the Lord today. And the Bible says he'll bring those with him when he raises those bodies. The dead will rise first. We which are alive remain, be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll be changed. You ever done something that changed your life? Some of you remember when you were a teenager and you asked a girl to marry you. And you got married. And I promise you, that changed your life. Changed her life. You haven't been the same ever since. When you became a parent, started having kids, and you held those babies in your arms, it changes you. You recognize your responsibility. You're different from that day forward than you were before. Maybe something horrible has happened in your life. That video we just saw about that poor girl who fell in the fire as an epileptic and burned her leg so bad they had to amputate it. And that woman's life was changed forever when she awoke after they had amputated her leg. And you see things and you go places. We're different from the time we got saved. We'll never be the same again because we received Christ as our Savior. We'll be transformed when we go home to be with the Lord. People go see the Creation Museum and the Ark. They go to Washington, D.C. and see all of the monuments. The world's trying to kick God out of government and out of the Bible and out of common speech. And you go to Washington, D.C. and you find that there are monuments everywhere with tributes to God in the founding of this nation. Christ is going to come and we're going to go to be with him. And our bodies are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be transformed from sinful flesh to a glorified body, a body that is like his body. And we'll be transformed, caught up to be with the Lord. Gravity will no longer hold us. And flesh will no longer be a problem for us and plague us or disease us. Death will no longer separate us from our loved ones. We're going to be like that caterpillar worm that crawls into the cocoon and after a period of time breaks open and a beautiful butterfly comes out. We're going to have a body that's like Christ's body, transformed one day when Jesus comes to take us home. We who are mortal will become immortal. We who are corrupt will be incorrupt. And we will go to be with the Lord. It'll be a timely trip. It'll be a triumphant trip. It'll be a transforming trip. And it'll be a thrilling trip. People travel the world to see the wonders of the world. He mentioned the Amazon River. Amazon is an amazing river. It's so large, covers so much territory in Brazil. And the amazing fish that are in it and the wonders of it. People travel to see the wonders of the pyramids in Egypt and the Great Wall of China and the Taj Mahal and these things that men have built that took hundreds and thousands of men long periods of time in physical labor to put together, and they're amazing things. Those followers of Islam take at least one trip in their life to Mecca. And sadly, almost every year when they have their big pilgrimage there, there's some bunch that get trampled to death over something that happens there. In the United States, people travel to New York City. They used to, anyway, because they wanted to go see the Empire State Building. It got to the point where they had to put fences up when you go up on top of the Empire State Building. Now you can't go over to the edge and drop a penny off anymore. You know, it'd kill somebody all the way down there, you know, if it hit somebody. They've had to stop that kind of thing. And people go to Washington, D.C., and they see all of the sights there. Chris and Debbie Holland go all over the country riding roller coasters. They like thrilling roller coasters. They like to ride all the roller coasters in the United States. I asked him, I said, what are you going to do for Thanksgiving? He said, go up to Virginia and ride roller coasters. Well, the rapture is going to be the most thrilling event of all history. It excels all the wonders of the world. It'll be greater than Israel's deliverance from Egypt, greater than the parting of the Red Sea. It'll be greater than any miracle that has been done on the earth. Raising Lazarus from the dead will be nothing compared to all the dead in Christ will be raised when Jesus comes and calls in the heavens. He calmed the winds and the sea, but he's going to deliver every believer to heaven to be with the Lord. And he's greater than Solomon or David, or he'll be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we'll rule and reign with him. It'll be a thrilling event to be a part of, greater than the royal weddings. I remember when Prince Charles married Diana, how she was a lovely bride and how the news media had made so much about it, and it was filmed for hours and hours of the pulling the horse-drawn carriages and all the soldiers and all the things that were involved in a royal wedding. You're going to be in a wedding one day with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to rejoice in the wedding feast and celebrate with the Lord. It'll be greater than any royal wedding. Christ himself will come for us, and they'll be joined by the archangel and the trump of God, and he'll free us from this present evil world, redeem our bodies so they're like his body. It'll reunite us with the believers who've gone before. Many of us have loved ones that are in heaven today that we know who are saved and went to be with the Lord, and we're looking forward to seeing them again. He will redeem us. He'll reunite us. He will reward us for our service. There'll be many crowns, accolades that will be given for those who faithfully serve the Lord. He'll receive us before the angels and the Father. He will robe us in righteousness. And he will recognize us as his own. He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He'll reveal to us the place that he has prepared for us. The personal aspect. It'll be thrilling that Christ will show us the place he has prepared for us. And he'll remove from us all stain that sin has caused. It'll be thrilling. The sights, you're going to see angels. You're going to see the street of gold. You're going to see the new Jerusalem. You're going to see heaven and all the saints. It'll be thrilling sights. It'll be thrilling sounds. You'll hear singing by thousands upon thousands upon thousands who'll sing praise and adoration unto the Lord. And we'll join them in those sounds and in those sights and in those smells. You say, what is heaven going to smell like? Well, I'm talking about there will be prayers of incense offered to the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor. The Bible says God keeps the prayers of the saints, and they'll be poured as an offering unto God with the incense. The secure feeling that we'll have that we're home and that we don't ever have to leave the Lord again. We'll always be protected. It's thrilling. It's real. We're going to look around. We're going to say, I'm here. We're going to say it's real. We're going to say it's just like the Bible said it was going to be. And now we're home. We're going on a trip, friends. It's going to be out of this world. It's going to be a thrilling trip. It's going to be timely. I ask you, are you ready to go? It's going to be triumphant. Are you seeking to earn rewards to triumph as a soldier of the cross? It's transforming. You're going to be changed, glorified with a body that will last forever and forever. And it's going to be thrilling. We ought to focus on that when we get discouraged in this world. We should be looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here tonight. I thank you for the day and all that you've done. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to recognize with this trip that's coming that we need to be busy until you come to take us home, because our time may be short. There's people that need to be saved. There's people that need to hear the gospel. There's people that we need to ask one more time and invite one more time to church before it's too late. So help us to have wisdom and burden. And Lord, give us what we need to be a powerful witness for you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.